We're studying the men of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And last Sunday we took a look at Abel, and who by faith offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain in verse 4. And today I want us to look at verse 5. The life of Enoch. In Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I do think that verse 6 goes with verse 5, as well as the whole chapter of Hebrews 11. But I do think that Enoch was a man who desired to please God. And I do believe that he was diligent in seeking fellowship with his God. In Genesis chapter 5, in verse 21 through 24, it says that Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I think it's significant that it's mentioned twice in this passage of Scripture that Enoch walked with God. That means to me that he was diligent in seeking the Lord. I think it's also significant that he walked with God after he had Methuselah. Now the name of Methuselah is the meaning of it is not a sure thing. But two of my sources say that the word Methuselah means when he is dead it shall be sent. And also another source said that Methuselah means a man of a javelin. Both of them imply judgment that is coming. And it seems to me that Enoch learned of the judgment of God that was coming. And he was reminded of that with his son Methuselah. Because we know that Methuselah lived 969 years. He is the, Enoch was his father, yet Methuselah was the oldest man that ever lived, and yet he died before his father. I don't know how that goes. I thought I had it down, but... Anyway, the point is this, Enoch is still alive in heaven today. And Enoch walked with him, and God took him. I'm reminded in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, "Can two walk together except they agree?" You know what that implies? That as Enoch and God walked together, they agreed on things. And Enoch was saying, "Yes, that's right. Yes, that's right. Oh, yes, that's right." Enoch agreed with God. You know what that should encourage us to do? We need to agree with him too. We need to walk with him to begin with, and to be able to do that, we need to be in agreement with him. We need to be on God's side, and I believe Enoch was that kind of a man. In Jude, we have another reference to Enoch. In verses 14 and 15, it says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." Enoch was a prophet, just like Abel was a prophet. Now, Abel was slain, and the generation to which Jesus ministered was accountable for the blood of the prophets from Abel unto Zacharias, who was slain in the temple. But Enoch was a prophet as well, and he prophesied of coming judgment. In Luke chapter 11, by way of review, it says that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Now, most of the time we just simply stop reading. Well, let me finish reading verse 51. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Most of the time we just stop reading right there. But I do believe that verse 52 is significant. It says, woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. And I believe that the way they took away the key of knowledge is by killing the prophets. When you start killing the prophets, you start snuffing out the light that God has sent to help His people see how to live in the way of life. It says that the lawyers were the ones who were taking away the key of knowledge. It says, and ye enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered. Entering into what? Entering into the coming kingdom and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. By killing Abel, they put out the light that Abel had concerning the coming kingdom of our Lord. And I believe that's what Abel's prophecy was about. And also it has to, because when you get back over into 1 John, which deals with Cain and Abel, it says that if you know you have love for the brethren, you know you have life for the age. You know you're going to rule and reign with Christ. That is the way that we know that we have passed from the death unto the life. And that life has to do with the kingdom. So Abel was one who preached about the coming kingdom and how to rule and reign with Christ and how you can know you have life for the coming age. And Enoch spoke about the judgment that would be coming. Now I want to pick up, before we get into that, the fact that it was the prophets who were prophesying of the salvation of the soul. This salvation pertained to the coming kingdom. Now let me show you what I mean. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, it says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Receiving the end of your faith implies that you don't make shipwreck of the faith. So this is a salvation that is associated with faith. And faith has to do with pleasing God, walking with Him in agreement, seeking Him diligently. And if you will do that, you will have this salvation. If you will not do that, you will not receive that salvation that he's talking about here. This is not talking about the salvation that we receive when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is known as the common salvation. This is the so great salvation that is referred to in Hebrews chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we have a reference to this salvation in verse 9 and 10. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. And it's significant that the Word of God is used in this passage of Scripture because the Word of God has to do with the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. And that is not bound. You can't bind that. Therefore, Paul says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with age-lasting glory. There's a salvation for those who are outside of Christ to put them into the body of Christ. And then there is a salvation in the body of Christ that puts you into the kingdom to rule and reign with Him. This is the salvation of the elect. And it says that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. And that salvation has to do with the glory of the coming kingdom, or the age-lasting glory. Verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 1 continues, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired, searching diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings for Christ," not of Christ, but for Christ, "and the glory that should follow." That glory has to do with the coming kingdom, the end of your faith, the salvation of your life or soul. And he continues in verse 12, "unto whom it was revealed, and not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven." It wasn't revealed unto them. Now, these are saved prophets, mind you, and they were desiring to know about a salvation that they didn't have. And it wasn't revealed unto them, but you know what? It's revealed unto us. And so we can enjoy that salvation of the soul, or the salvation in Christ. Now, this is what the prophets of Abel and Enoch preached and taught about. Now, back to Jude chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." I've always wondered why the Lord put in there the seventh from Adam. So I checked, and in Genesis chapter 4, verse 17, there's another Enoch. And that Enoch is the third from Adam. So he wanted to make sure that we weren't confused about which Enoch he was talking about. Now, this Enoch is of Cain. And the Enoch that we're studying about in Jude is in the lineage of Adam. And by the way, if you look over in Luke chapter 3, you'll find that Enoch is in the genealogy of our Lord. So he's part of the lineage of the Messiah. So it says that Enoch prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." Who are the these that he prophesied of? Well, I put in here the fact that this is a pronoun. It's plural and it's masculine. Because what I want you to realize is that this masculine pronoun is related to other masculine plural pronouns. Where? In the book of Jude. And so Jude is talking about these, that the Lord is going to come with 10,000 of his saints to exercise judgment. Now, these that are referenced here are believers, first of all. These are saved people. There's judgment that's going to begin at the house of God. Now, in Jude 1:4, it says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, denying the Lord our God and our Lord Jesus Christ." It's the certain men that have crept in unawares. These are those, it's really interesting to see that 1 and 2 Peter is really closely related to Jude, because there's a lot of things in 1 and 2 Peter that we find in Jude. So these false teachers are referred to in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, when it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them." So these prophets and these teachers are saved people. They have been bought by the Lord. "And they bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of." These are the personal pronouns, the masculine pronouns that Enoch is pronouncing judgment upon. Paul warned of these people in Acts chapter 20 when he says, "For I know this," in verse 29, "that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one, night and day with tears." Paul knew that there would be those in their midst, saved people, that will rise up and teach wrong things. Why? So that they can get people to recognize them and honor them and follow them. And Paul warned them for 3 years, night and day, with tears. These are the same people that Jude is talking about, judgment coming upon. In Jude chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "But these," masculine plural, "speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Isn't it interesting? Went in the way of Cain. What is the way of Cain? Hating your brother. That's the way of Cain. Is not loving your brother, not ministering to your brother. Now, we're not talking about somebody who's just saved. We're talking about a brother is one who is seeking to enter the kingdom. A brother is seeking to do the will of the Father. A brother is one who wants to hear the Word of God and to do it. And if you hate your brother, you're going to be judged. Notice that they ran greedily after the error of Balaam. What was the error of Balaam? In a nutshell, lawlessness. You know what Balaam got the children of Israel to do? To let down their guard and to have fellowship with the people of the land. And they married their women and vice versa, and the Lord turned against them because of that. Notice that, "and they perish in the gainsaying of Kor." Who is Kor? That's Korah. Korah was one saying, "Moses, you don't have any more authority than I do. Why, the whole nation of Israel is holy. We can all swing the incense before God." And we know what happened to Korah. The Lord says, "Hey, I have chosen Moses. I have chosen the Levi." In fact, Korah was of the descendants of Levi. But he was in the right descendants of Levi. It was not of Levi and his sons, because Korah was a son of, was in the lineage of Levi. I knew where he fit in, but I don't have it right now on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, looking in 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 15, it says, "Which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." So there are those that are pursuing or have forsaken the right way. That means that they were in the right way for a while, and now they have forsaken the right way. Now, back to Jude again in verse 12. It says, "These are spots in your feast of charity," or of love, "when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." It's interesting here, they are spots, they are blemishes in your feast. Let me tell you, it does make a difference how you live, and if you don't live for the Lord, it does affect the rest of the body. It does. That's the reason why the Lord said, "Get the unclean out of the camp. Get them out of there. Get them away from you. Do not intermarry. Do not intermix. Get them out." Notice that it says, "And they feast," that they feed themselves without fear. The word feeding is interesting. It can be translated shepherding. What it's saying is this: they are shepherding themselves. They are not under any shepherd. They are under their own control, so to speak. There's no authority above them. And they look like clouds. They look like someone who has a refreshing rain. You know what a cloud, people look for a cloud? They're looking for rain. They're looking for refreshment. The early rains and the latter rains. They're looking for a tree that has fruit. And you go to the tree, and what do you find? Withered fruit. You only get withered fruit in bags at the grocery store called dried dates. Or But you know, there's nothing like a good, juicy peach. Who wants a withered peach? Well, anyway, they're just simply dead, and they will be plucked up by the roots. Verse 13 continues, raging waves of the sea. What causes the waves in the sea? Wind. Who is the prince of the power of the air? The devil. These people are blown to and fro by the every wind of doctrine that the devil wants to blow in. It says they are foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars. What is a star? A star is one who has a heavenly inheritance. When the children of Israel were going into the land in Deuteronomy, he says, "This day thou art as the stars of heaven." And these stars began to wander on their own. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness for the age. This has to do with the millennium. This is outer darkness. This is just another example of outer darkness for these people. So, Enoch was preaching judgment about for those who know kingdom truth and are not following the rules, if you want to put it that way. They're not living like Enoch lived. They're not walking with the Lord. They're not pursuing the Lord. And a judgment will come. In back to verse 14 and 15, it says, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them, masculine plural, ungodly, of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them, or against him, that is the Lord. So here we find Enoch prophesying of the judgment seat of Christ, if you please. In 1 Peter 4, verse 7 and through 18, it says, For the time is come that the judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And of the righteous, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? These are talking about saved ungodly people. You can be saved and ungodly. People don't think that you can be, but you can be saved and ungodly. And if you're saved and ungodly, you're going to be judged, particularly if you have been a star and you have begun to wander. Hebrews chapter 10 also warns of that in verses 30 and 31. For we know him that saith, Vengeance belongs to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. These were murmurers that will be judged. In fact, the murmurers in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 were judged. Serpents judged them. They were complaining about the light bread. Anyway, now, it was says that Enoch was translated. He was caught up. He did not go through the judgment of the flood. The flood is a picture of the tribulation period, if you please. And during the tribulation period, there are going to be saints, or those who live by faith, those who overcome the wicked one by the blood of the Lamb. And I think that we'll look at Noah and see that he is a picture of those who come through the tribulation period. But here we see Enoch being caught up and was not found. And that implies that they looked for him. They wondered where he went, and they looked for him, they couldn't find him. And I think that this is a reference to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it says, "And I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." Notice who he's talking to. "Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." The word "have" here is echo in the present tense. It could mean or imply esteeming hope. There are those who don't think you have a hope because it's a sure thing. When hope is really not a sure thing. And so there are those who have no hope. They know they got it. But it goes on in verse 14, "For if we," that is brethren, who are elect, who are beloved, that's in chapter 1 in verse 4, and the ones who esteem hope, they're the ones who are believing in the present tense that Jesus died and rose again. In other words, their confidence is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ be not raised from the dead, our faith is in vain. It's empty. It's a waste of time. And so those who believe in the power of the resurrection are the ones who are going to be caught up like Enoch was caught up. That's the point I want you to get out of this passage in 1 Thessalonians 4. For it goes on, "Even so them," that is the brethren who are elect, who esteem hope and are believing in the present tense, "also which sleep in Jesus," in other words, there are those who have already died, who physically have passed away, their hope was in the Lord and in His coming kingdom. They were believing in the present tense. They were faithful like Enoch was. We're not going to get the advantage of not having to go through the valley of the shadow of death. We're all going to be caught up together. And Paul continues this in, he says, "Also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead who previously had hoped and have been living, believing in the present tense, will in Christ arise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." Enoch was one, I believe, who believed in the present tense. He was faithful in pursuing the Lord. And we need to have the same attitude that Enoch had. In fact, in Colossians chapter 1, Paul says, "In the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." Enoch was warning those who had moved away from the hope of the gospel. The gospel here having to do with the kingdom, "which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." And then down in verse 26 of Colossians 1 it says, "Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of this, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." This was what Enoch was warning against. He is warning us today to be faithful to the Lord in living by faith, pursuing God, knowing that without faith it is impossible to please Him. And if we wander away, judgment is coming for us. And so I think that we see that Abel preached the kingdom, and Enoch says, "Hey, If you believe the kingdom message, you better be faithful to it. If you're not, there's judgment coming. May the Lord help us to be faithful in these last days. Lawlessness abounds and can affect us. And it's very important for us to be faithful. Father, I just pray that you'd bless the thoughts of this message to each of our hearts. Help us to appreciate the fact that it's important for us to do the work of God, which is to believe in the present tense. That we need to be believing that without faith it is impossible to please you. That we need to be diligent in seeking you, knowing that you are a rewarder of those who do. We pray, Father, that you would help us to be faithful in these last days as Enoch was faithful. And Lord, we are looking for the day that we will be caught up. We know that day may be any time. And we just pray that you'd help us to be watching and praying, knowing our redemption draws nigh. Bless the message to each of our hearts this morning, for it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.